Welcome back to WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Nothing more positive than being back down at Lexington Market. We're at Fadley's. Don Moeller is here. And we have yet another, we've had two mayoral candidates, including the mayor
it's
and
the city council. Meet the mayoral candidate series.
Yeah,
right?
Man. Once Dan Rodericks had you around, I figured, I got to. So, full disclosure, you and I met maybe about 2 months ago at Maritime Magic. My wife said, there's the guy, Thiru. And I said, I'm going to let him say his name because people come to me. Nestors, how many Nestors have you met?
Not very many.
And I have not met many.
You have a walk in the park compared to Thiru Vignaraja. So.
But I walked up to you and I said, Thiru, you're like, you got my name right. And I'm like, well, I read it and I do radio, so I didn't want to get it wrong.
I was very grateful.
Well, and I'm very grateful for you spending some time with us. Welcome down. And I know you've been in the news and you had, and look, we run Baltimore Positive. You're hearing it on the radio. You may hear it right around Thanksgiving into the first week of December. It's the holidays and we'd love to say happy holidays. And Damie's here with holiday crab cakes and all sorts of great stuff and soups and whatnot, but
today she actually had cheese grits today.
Oh, I mean,
it was a new
term. I get stuck in my teeth too. It's terrible. But you were here in a serious tone. I mean, you took a text here right as we arrived, and you there's a magic number when it comes to being the mayor of Baltimore that we get measured, and it's not how many businesses, how many lives like my wife's are saved at Johns Hopkins. There's a number, and it's sad that it's come to that, but
yep.
But you got that number today.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we got the news just this morning that we have, for the fifth consecutive year, hit 300 murders, a number that we had not seen in decades. We have now done over and over and over and over and now over again. And so it was a hard morning, and I stepped out, as you know, to talk with my team about it. The people of Baltimore are heartbroken, and they are frustrated, and they are right to be. And I want to talk about positive stories in Baltimore. I really do, and I hope we'll get a chance to do that this morning.
That's what we do here. I get to do sweatshirts.
Yeah, I love it.
Yes.
But it is hard to talk to those great stories and to emphasize those wonderful illustrations of what our city could be when the dominant defining narrative of this city for the last few years has been the murder rate, the highest in the country, the highest in the city's history, and now yet again 300 murders.
Well, Thiru, one of the reasons that Nestor and I began Baltimore Positive was we do believe in the city.
Yeah.
You believe in the city. Our guests that come on believe in the city.
Yeah, Damien, when you say the people of Baltimore,
right.
Here we are.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Damie
Hahn
that's
and the people at Fadley's have been invested here for more than 100 years.
It's one of the oldest family-owned businesses in the country.
Correct.
They were here in 1886.
Right.
They'll be here in 2086.
Ten years after the revolution.
Right.
It's hard to believe,
yep.
Right? So the bottom line is that having said that, there is this cloud,
yeah.
And this is, I know, a major motivator for you. There is this cloud that hangs over trying to move forward with Baltimore City. And it is crime, and it is the incredible violence, and certainly the homicide rate.
Yeah.
As my phone was blowing up this morning. And again, we try to be real honest here on Baltimore Positive. But as we're recording this yesterday, and I'm sure he'll come out today and try to clarify it. But yesterday, the mayor of Baltimore made a comment, and any of us have been in a public eye know sometimes you say things you wish you hadn't said. But he says to a group of reporters and others that don't blame me. I'm not the one killing people. And the reaction has been swift, and it has not been very positive.
No.
What have you heard in the last 24 hours?
No, this is an abdication of responsibility. A couple months ago, the mayor said something about wanting to have boxing rings set up downtown.
Yeah, he visited with us right after that. Yeah, he was right here. Yeah.
As a strategy to drive down the murder rate. And I literally sent a message out that said, look, those of us in public office, we sometimes say something that comes out a little bit wrong. I urge the mayor to clarify.
Rethink that.
That the response to the people of Baltimore to the highest murder rate in the country is not boxing rings at the Inner Harbor. And he didn't. He doubled down on it. And then last week he said, oh, we just got to hope that the cold weather arrives because then people will go inside and watch some TV and help their kids with their homeworks. Those were ridiculous and bizarre and curious things to say, but they were just gaps.
They're not solutions.
They're not solutions. What he said yesterday was tone deaf and insulting. It was the most ridiculous thing I've heard to say, I'm not the one committing the murders. He was talking about the murder of a 31-year-old man who had just gotten married, who dedicated his life to service in this city, who loved the city, who lived in the city, even though he worked outside of it. And his answer is, I'm not the one responsible. I'm not the one committing the murders.
Full disclosure on that, that young man is being memorialized this morning at a church in Catonsville. My daughter-in-law is heartbroken. She was his high school cross-country coach. His teammates are heartbroken. She basically cries every day. So that bit of violence last week
touched
my home. It obviously touched the head of the YMCA, John Hoey, who wrote a very, very critical piece. And we'll have John on.
Yeah, I know John well. We both
as, well. And I think what prompted the mayor's reaction was that John indicated that we've had a lack of leadership in the city. And again, I'm fond of the mayor. I like the mayor, but these criticisms are real. And how do you react to John's criticism? And as you get around, more importantly, Theroux, as you go from neighborhood to neighborhood to neighborhood, what are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, people are frustrated and they're fed up. I think one of the reasons why our campaign has been received so well is because we are a breath of fresh air. We are talking about how to change things with an aspirational vision, but also the detailed plan of how to actually get there. This is not platitudes and sound bites. This is not, you know, we take credit for the things that work well on our watch, but anything that went badly, it was somebody else's fault. That has been the MO and mantra of every city politician for a generation. Being
well,
a
as
city
a citizen,
hall,
I think that's being a politician, right?
Yeah,
like, that's how to get reelected, right?
Yep.
And Don and I talk a lot about that, you know?
And Nestor, I hope you will call me on in 4 years when I'm up for re-election.
Oh, it'll be before that if you're elected.
And look, let's be honest. I want you to remind me.
I'll hold it accountable.
Remind me of what I said, which is if a pigeon dies in Patterson Park, it is partly my responsibility. Not because it's actually my responsibility, but because the people of Baltimore deserve to be treated that way. The potholes, the traffic lights, the education system, the school, I mean, the police situation, all of it is supposed to be your leader's responsibility. If you don't want that job, do something else. There's lots of other things where you are not responsible for the fate and education, the lives and deaths of 600,000 people. There's hundreds of jobs that will hire Jack Young and Brandon Scott and all these others. But if you want to be put in the position of being responsible for trying to fix it, then run for mayor. And I'm frustrated, and I'm frustrated in part because this abdication of responsibility didn't happen yesterday. Jack Young's comments are making us talk about it, but it has been a generation of watching city leaders pass the buck, blame someone else, delegate responsibility. Being in City Hall and not in the mayor's perch is not an alibi. You're an accessory. You're talking about people that were the chair of public safety. They were the city council president. They weren't bystanders. They weren't staffers. They were in the seat of responsibility. And now they're asking for a bigger seat because they didn't get anything done for the last 10, 20, 30 years.
My anger as a citizen in regard to the mayor is just being stolen from. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing for Stephanie and what happened with Freddie Gray. And look, the reason this is here and the reason we're doing this is because when I got back from the Freddie Gray incident happened after my wife survived the first time, and we were literally in an airplane coming back into the country, and we put the television on, and people told me not to go home that night. And I came home, and I live at a vantage point where I saw the fires, and the next morning I got up, and I went about talking about the Orioles, who were doing well at the time. I talked about the Ravens draft because it was 2 weeks later. The Stanley Cup. I mean, the Preakness. There were things going on in my sports world that said, you know what? They're a bunch of grown-ups. That's about race. That's about the city. They'll figure it out. 4 years later, no one has figured it out. So that's why I've put this platform together, literally. And Don wound up in this situation last year running the county. I was inspired by it. That's why we're here a year later. And I can't honestly say is we hit 300 murders today, and that will be the number.
Yep.
Now, that number will be every day for the next 60 days. Yep. We're going to see how high or how low that number goes, right?
Yep.
And that's how we're going to be judged.
Yep.
And we've been ripped off by the last mayor. That's why I'm pissed,
well,
right? So that's why I'm involved.
Think about it. It's depressing to think about it, but there is an outside chance God forbid, that we hit 350. I mean, we have a month and a half left to go, and it's unthinkable.
Don, the reason I don't want to think about that is because of what you said a few minutes ago. We do focus on the numbers because it's an easy way for us to keep track, but every single one of those people between 300, which happened this morning, and 350 is one of those stories that touched your home. Right, there's a family, a mother, a brother, a son in East Baltimore that doesn't realize it, but sometime in the next 2 weeks, the next 2 months, they're going to have the unspeakable tragedy of losing someone they love to gun violence in this city. And there's going to be another one in West Baltimore this weekend, and there's going to be another one. There's this feeling of inevitability, and I'm going to tell you a positive story for just a minute.
Sure.
About
we like to do
because,
that too.
Because look, we're here on a Thursday. You know what we should be talking about? We should be talking about Lamar Jackson's spin. We should be talking about the fact that he had, 2 weeks in a row of being an AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Oh, we can talk about the ice rink opening up. We can talk about all the awesome stuff going on.
And we will never have that be beside a 30-second conversation because we will turn to the topic of crime. At the beginning of this city's birth, around the time when Fadley's was here, your grandfathers were still able to watch this. This city had an advantage over every other one in the country. It was the westernmost port city on the eastern seaboard. Westernmost. The second one was New York City, Hudson Harbor. And for the first 100 years of the Republic, we were neck and neck in this economic race between Baltimore and New York City. And we were winning because
we had the
best port. We had the deep. No, no, not
we
yet.
Had the,
not
we had
yet.
The north and the south, too. That's,
we did. And then the first thing that happened was you got to give credit to the leaders of New York City. They conceived of and constructed the second greatest infrastructure project in American history. They built the Erie Canal. Literally with shovels and spades, they dug a 1,000-mile ditch from the Hudson Harbor to the Great Lakes. And all of a sudden, you could go from London to New York City to Chicago without ever getting off your boat. Well, leaders in Baltimore City responded, and they conceived of and constructed the greatest infrastructure project in American history. They built the American Railroad. From Baltimore to Ohio, you could go faster than they could ever take a boat on the Erie Canal. And for the second 100 years, we had the advantage. And that was because we had leaders that didn't think about the election cycle or a soundbite. They were making investments that they knew that they wouldn't be there to see the benefit of. They weren't there at the ribbon cutting.
I said the courage that the people of New York had to build a subway.
Yeah.
They were going to build a hole in the ground to move people around. People bought in, paid for it, knowing the people that were elected were never going to ride in that subway.
So you had in this city great leaders that believed in the future of Baltimore and made investments knowing they would not see the benefit at the election poll, knowing that they would not be at the ribbon cutting, but knowing it was the right thing to do for their children and their children's children and for Ms. Damia and the people that they would never know their name. Now we have leaders that literally pass the buck every time they are given a chance. That story I just told you is the proud legacy of this city, of this market. And here we are sitting here with a mayor that says, oh no, I didn't commit the murder, so you can't hold me responsible. No, we're not suggesting that you were the actual trigger puller, but you have been a de facto accomplice to what is happening in Baltimore for the last century.
All right, so you say your word's guns always, right?
And well, it is guns, but you know, Nestor, before we even get to guns and I don't want to give short shrift. I don't want to come at the end of this segment and talk about your crime plan because I really want to take an entire segment and talk about it. But I was thinking about it this morning, the 300. I was thinking about this funeral. I was thinking about the comments yesterday and my phone blowing up in reaction to them. I was thinking, what's the big picture issue? Yeah. And one of the big picture issues to me, and Nestor, you and I talk about it all of the time, is that how difficult it is in the current climate, both local and national, regarding communities and their relationship to police departments, and whether or not the police are able to do the job they need to do while at the same time doing it in a way that doesn't step over a line. And then underpinning all of that is the issue of race. I mean, that's the big, to me, sociological issue that we're afraid to talk about.
Of our lifetime in this city, right?
We're afraid to talk about.
Every citizen, whether it's a 70-year-old man who came here about 5 weeks ago and sat and had a crab cake and told me about he was incarcerated and beaten in the 60s and 70s, he's now your age, Don, you know? His whole life has been in that bubble. And, you know, I'm 50 and people my age, it's an ongoing issue here that really, Freddie Gray, when you drill down, that's at the heart of,
yep,
of that.
Oh, it's poverty and hopelessness and lack of education. And you look back, and I know we're throwing a lot at you in terms of it's a sociology class, but when you look back at the success that Mayor O'Malley had in terms of, you say to people, it wasn't that long ago when we had homicides, even though it was still a horrific number, under 200.
No, I remember it.
Under 200.
I remember it. You are throwing a lot, but these are really important issues. You know, the mistrust in government, the mistrust in police, in some respects is deserved. That GTTF scandal, those eight police officers that were cops by day but really robbers
by night. Tell folks what that is.
These are eight police officers that literally were, with their guns and their badges, breaking into homes, stealing drugs from drug dealers, selling it to other drug dealers.
You can read the long version of this.
Is the worst policing scandal in American history. That happened in the last couple years here in Baltimore. And then you go back further, and you know that this mistrust has deep seeds. Look, my parents are retired city school teachers. My mom taught at Poly and Morgan State. My dad taught at Edmondson and Douglas and Southern and Western. Just like Damio's dad, my dad works long days. He retired at the age of 80 from Baltimore City Public Schools. He's the oldest teacher teaching
in the state of
Maryland.
According to Damio's dad.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I told my dad that.
Kid.
I said,
he's a kid.
But does he
you went out at 80.
You know, that's what that's I want.
So, you know, that is the tradition in which I was raised. And I went to a school that was predominantly African-American, and I went to colleges, Yale and Harvard Law School, that were not predominantly African-American, and this city has been defined and divided by race in so many ways for so long, and it breaks my heart. Look, my candidacy, my campaign transcends race. I'm not white, and I'm not black. The issues that I'm talking about affect every community. There was a murder last September in Federal Hill. There was a vigil at Riverside Park the Monday after the September 27th murder, and they lamented the death of this promising 26-year-old Northrop Grumman engineer, and everybody was there. 300 people from the community, the mayor, the city council president, the police commissioner, every elected official, every radio station and TV station, and they talked about the tragedy of this promising young man that had been killed on September 27th. The problem is he wasn't the only one who was killed on September 27th. And on the Tuesday after that Monday night vigil, there was a vigil in McElderry Park. Not Riverside Park, but McElderry Park, where they lamented the death of one of the others that was killed that day. The murder of the 26-year-old that was killed in Federal Hill, that was lamented at Riverside Park, was solved the next week. The two other young black men that were killed that same day are still open cases today. And if that's how you treat the murder of one person in one neighborhood versus the murder of another, just think about where that mistrust comes from, how we invest in our schools, how we make investments in our potholes. We have to stop talking and thinking about this city as a checkerboard. We have to start thinking about this city, as one integrated, glorious city that's had its hardships, that's had its legacy of racism and institutional and systematic structural racism. But we today have to transcend that. We have to make investments. When we talk about my crime plan, one of the things that I think distinguishes us from the other campaigns, we know we got the highest property taxes in the state. We have some of the most broken schools in the nation and the highest murder rate in history. But we have to not just talk in platitudes. There's a paragraph at the beginning of my crime plan that says all of the candidates, all of the police commissioners, all the mayors agree on the following. Let's focus on violent repeat offenders. Let's invest in our children. Let's address trauma and mental health. We all agree about that. Those are critically important. Here now are 20 things, 20 serious initiatives that we could do tomorrow that have never been tried in this city that I am pledging I will do. Aerial surveillance, put the plane up in the air with some restrictions. 12 simultaneous wiretaps in the 12 deadliest neighborhoods where we know every year a quarter of the murders happen. Let's make investments in our children to get them to diversion programs and apprenticeships as a condition of probation, not as a please, please, please go do your homework, but actually as a way of a carrot and stick working in function.
So in other words, if you're on the street, it's either jail or on the street safely with restraint. Is that what you're saying?
So what I'm saying is we actually announced this with Matthew Dudon. It's called the Court to Career Program. Low-level offenders are charged. They're brought to court, and they say, listen, we're going to give you a PBJ, but as a condition of your probation, you enroll in an apprenticeship program, and you get a job. And if you complete that apprenticeship and you complete that job, you're probation is lifted.
Now, how does this kid get a job if an employer won't hire someone who has a PBJ? Because I can find someone that doesn't.
Though the District Court Reentry Project, which is what this is based on, actually finds those employers that are willing to do that, and it partners with them. The recidivism rate in Baltimore City, 73% of the people that are released to the city of Baltimore are rearrested and back in jail in 3 years. You know what the recidivism rate of this is?
Sure.
6%.
Where was that?
6%. Right here in Baltimore City. This is a homegrown idea out of a district court judge named Judge Trastori Klein, who came up with this idea. She is begged for support and funding from City Hall, and they won't give her enough.
This is Nicole Pastore Klein?
Yeah.
I know Nicole.
This gets, and
it's an incredible program.
And I think when we come back, we're going to go point by point. But before that, Nestor, isn't it interesting? You mentioned this program that this judge created, 6% recidivism versus 73?
Yep.
For 73. Another, this is one of the things that Nestor and I beat the drum on each and every day, another program that works. We talk about Thread every week on this program and the incredible success.
Yep.
So I take Thread, where I know they're doing these amazing things, 573 kids now over 15 years. Nobody's left the program. Every one of them goes to college. We've got this program from this judge. The question that Nestor pounds the table on all the time is, why aren't we committing to those programs? Great place to stop. We'll be back talking about a lot more. Nestor, where are we?
And the bloodshed. We're down here at Fadley's in Lexington Market. Thru Vignaraja joining us. Former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller. I am Nestor. We're back. Two more episodes with Thru running for mayor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, and Baltimore Positive. Back for more from Fadley's right after this.